Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. With Mobile's award-winning garden expert and chief horticultural advisor for Mobile Botanical Gardens, Bill Finch. We'll talk about living and growing on the Gulf Coast. Now, your personal yard and garden consultant, here's Bill Finch.
Hey, welcome back. It's a Gulf Coast Sunday morning with Plain Gardening. You know, Chris and I were just jabbering on like we didn't even have a radio show. It got Charlie worried here for a minute, but we're back. And we're going to jabber for your pleasure now. But, hey, Chris, Catherine's been holding on for a while, and I love Catherine, and I don't want her to have to hold on anymore. Let's go to Catherine's question. Catherine, what's up?
Hey, Bill.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good.
We have an established yard with a lot of shade and dappled sunshine in Montrose.
Yes, ma'am.
And I planted two limelight hydrangeas at least 3 years ago. They have never bloomed at all. 1 year I cut them back because I read something that said to cut them back, and I thought that was why they didn't bloom. But I haven't touched them now since, you know, over a year ago, 2 years ago. And they're just not blooming.
Well, that's a tough one. Limelights are usually pretty good. They actually do really well in full sunlight. I would think they would do really well in dappled shade, if indeed they are getting some sunlight. I don't know how cutting them back would encourage bloom at all. Chris, does that make any sense to you? Chris, is it Chris? Did we lose?
From you cutting it back. My thought is probably some soil nutrients, but you know, all the hydrangeas can be kind of temperamental. They kind of like a specific, you know, microclimate. What I see is you may have 50 hydrangeas in a row, and these are doing great, and then this group, you know, right next door is just not. And so that it just might not be the right spot. For it.
Well, limelights are one of the most consistent in blooming, though. I've seen them bloom in a lot of different places. They're not like some of the French hydrangeas that are indeed kind of finicky, and they're pretty tough. Yeah. Catherine, is it growing well? Is it growing pretty vigorously?
Yeah, there are two of them right there together, and they're growing well. And the azaleas that are in the same area are doing great, And I have a lot of other hydrangeas in the yard that are okay, you know, doing fine.
The only thing I can say about limelight, and the only thing I'm really coming up with at this point, is that limelight actually is more sun tolerant than a lot of the other hydrangeas. And that may mean that if it's getting a little too much shade, it may be delayed in bloom. Cutting it back, you may have actually removed the flower buds for that year, depending on when you did it. So one, don't, and so that, you know, it may have kind of struggled the first 2 years with a couple of getting established, and then we cut it back, and then that may have slowed it down. It's not past the time yet when limelights could bloom this year. So I would, you know, I might let it go this year and another year and see if it doesn't bloom. But that's a weird one for me because limelight has usually been really, really consistent.
Well, okay. You know, let me ask you, I'm seeing something blooming everywhere in Montrose in a lot of sun, and I think it's PG hydrangeas. I'm not sure, but they're blooming right now, and they've got little tight little head on them. They're not real loose and flowing like the French hydrangeas seem to me to be. Is that a PG?
Well, you know, I'll have to look. PGs in general don't do as well down this far south. PG now they're all paniculatas, but the PG selection did not do that well down south. One of the nice things about limelight is that it was a much better selection for the south than PG, and we made better selections for the south. I don't know. I mean, you may have a paniculata, which is the group that limelight is in. They may be blooming now. Limelight, there's really nothing wrong with it that I know of. So I'm going to have to call around to folks now to see, because I always assumed limelight was just one of the easiest ones to deal with. And now you've told me something different, and now I'm going to have to figure out, well, what does this mean?
Well, I put cottonseed meal on them this early spring, and last year I think I put cottonseed meal on them every year.
Well, let me say this. Don't do that. They don't need it. They're going to be fine. You put cottonseed meal on them once, and once every 3 or 4 years, and that's more than enough for a shrub like a hydrangea. So it could be that a combination of lack of sunlight and actually excess vegetative growth may be somewhat discouraging bloom. Cottonseed meal's good. It's hard to overuse it, but you could be creating conditions where we're just seeing delay in flowering. Let's back off on the fertilizer. It's not going to encourage bloom. It won't make it bloom better, for sure. And let's see if it doesn't get better next year.
Okay, I'll try that.
All right, Catherine. Keep me posted. This is interesting.
Thank you. I will. Thanks, Bill.
All right. Yeah, so I don't know. Chris, did you have any other thoughts about that?
No, I'm going to stick to trees.
Yeah.
I try to dabble in shrubs a little, but there's just it's so much out there, and then, you know, the grasses and the blooming plants and the lawn grasses and annuals, and it's just too much. And
too
so
much.
I really try to
too
focus on one area.
That's right. So we're back to where we want to be, which is back to talking about we got this conversation started, and Chris Francis with Chris Francis Tree Care is joining us on the show today, which is really great to hear from him. Great to talk to him. We are getting incredibly valuable advice for free, which is really good. Listen. We started off by talking about somebody had gotten a Leland cypress, and the question was should it be staked, and basically the answer is no, no way. Leland cypress doesn't need staking. It would be I can't imagine why it would need staking. But the other question is, should we plant a Leland cypress? And so we went into that a little bit, and the answer was no.
Right.
Just
right.
Basically no. And then Chris gave us some great advice on what to do if you've already messed up and planted Leland cypress. And one of the interesting things that Chris says, and that I agree with completely, is if you've planted Leland cypress, plant another hedge right behind it because your Leland cypress is going to disappear. So start preparing for that. And here's the other thing that Chris is going to say. It's about if you're worried about replacing every Leland cypress with something else, what's the problem with that, Chris?
Well, so, and I see this time and time again, you know, something happens and they say, okay, we're going to take out all 50 Leland cypress and we'll plant 50 new something or another's. And the problem is if you get a disease that affects your new something or another, well, you're back to where you started. And so, you know, diversity is really great. It's great for the forest. It's great for the urban environment. You know, think about, you know, just from aesthetic, you know, point of view, we're seeing different foliage, different blooms, different colors, different textures, all that kind of stuff. But from a pest perspective, you have one species, and that pest comes in, attacks that one species, and you're done. You're in a desert. You know, they wiped you out. And so that makes it really tough. So now I also get that somebody says, well, hey, we want to have a wall. We want this. Okay, I get it. But if there is a way to break it up, you know, maybe you have a grouping of, you know, one plant, you know, magnolias, and then you have a grouping of maybe camellias, a grouping of, you know, eastern red cedar, or, you know, something to where you can still, you know, have some plants. You don't have 50 different plants all the way down. You know, you can have groupings, and so if you lose a grouping, then, you know, that's bad, but it's not near as bad as losing every single plant all the way down.
That's right. So it's rhythm that I you know, I guess the word is rhythm. Have a rhythm to your planting so that you've got, let's say you use two or three different types of plants in this long line of shrubs. And that's great. So you can use some taller magnolias with their evergreen foliage. You have to make space for them. You have to think about that. But you could use little gems or something that didn't grow as fast. And then in between those, you might use something else. But have a rhythm so that these appear at certain intervals, and it makes it really interesting. You know, one of the other things that happens when you do that and when you stagger the plantings just a little bit is that it makes your it actually – if you're trying to hide something, when you put a solid wall – That is absolutely just that there's no relief. It's just one solid wall. It says to you, "Ooh, there's something behind there. We don't want us. They don't want us
right,
to see.
Right. What are they hiding?
What are they hiding? Yeah. But if it's got a pattern to it and it's beautiful, you look at the wall and you say, "Ooh, that's beautiful. It's not a wall. It's a beautiful design." So that's good, and that's where diversity becomes really, really important, and it's a lot of fun. We were talking about Charlie, did we got to take a break again?
Whenever you can do it.
Yeah, so, Chris, we got to take a break.
Man, he's blessed.
It's just like we get it cranked up, and then we got to take a break. We got a lot of folks, a lot of questions. Hold on just a second. We're going to take a break. We're going to be right back, and I'm going to tell you what some of these pictures are that I'm getting, too.
I was raised in the country, that's a natural fact. Food on the table from the garden out back. Everyone working to make the land their own. Red clay cracking where the silver queen grows. Running with your cousins from yard to yard. Living was easy, but the playing was hard. Didn't have much, nothing comes for free. All you needed was your family. I am a country girl. I've been around the world. And every place I've been, ain't quite nothing like.
My friend Austin Key from Arrow Exterminators in studio. And we're talking about bugs, as always. You're not talking about bugs, but one of the bugs that dominates most conversations for folks here is that of termites. And that's a big deal for us down here.
Yeah, the Formosan swarm, it definitely gets people's attention. You know, it's always, like I said, around Mother's Day. We're getting to that tail end of it, but we're still getting calls with people seeing them still.
How do y'all tackle that? How do y'all, when you come out and you set up a program to keep the termites out, how do y'all do that?
Well, you know, it's tough to keep that swarmer out because he's going to come through 1/64 of an inch. So the swarmers can get in the house. It's just a matter of how many you're seeing and where you're seeing them to actually determine whether you're having a problem.
Okay, so just because I saw some out by the streetlight doesn't mean I have them.
That does not. That just means they're somewhere nearby and they're swarming out. You know, if you call me and you say, hey, they're 2 inches deep in my bathtub or there's thousands of them in my kitchen or in a particular room, then that would lead to a potential problem and we'll definitely need to get on that one sooner than later.
All right, if we want to get y'all to come out and check it out, tell us how to get in touch.
You can reach us at 888-GO-ARROW or arrowexterminators.com.
Now through June 30th, save big at Mike Ward's Liberty Safes with clearance pricing and instant in-store rebates on all Liberty Colonial, Fat Boy, and Franklin Round Bolt safe models. Hurry in while supplies last. Plus, get 0% financing and 12 months to pay with approved credit. Remember, Mike Ward's Liberty Safes offers free delivery up to 50 miles and most of all, service after the sale. Mike Ward's Liberty Safes, located at exit 5B, Moffitt and I-65 in Mobile. Just look for the giant yellow safe. 471-1137.
We all know someone who believes their plants are more than, well, just plants. They feed, water them, they talk to them, even name them.
Perk up, Fred. Fred, wake up.
People who love their plants just seem to get a certain something from helping them grow. Non-plant people don't really understand, but Cecil Christenberry and all the folks at Old Time Feed in Fairhope understand your plants and your lawn and have the expertise you need to keep your plants thriving. Old Time Feed has been in the nursery, feed, and seed business since man landed on the moon. So buy the highest quality plants and get the best advice to make sure you start off with healthy specimens that will brighten up your home and your yard that will thrive in our coastal climate from Old Time Feed. For homeowners, contractors, and yeah, even supplies for home chicken coops, Old Time Feed in Fairhope at Highway 98 and Greeno Road.
This is Larry in Missouri, previously on the Paul Feinbaum Show.
Tim Tebow, our good friend. So on those rare moments that you do make it back when your family brings the dog over or he's waiting for you, what kind of reaction do you get from this dog?
Oh, it's a huge reaction. Dogs are amazing. You've even made out with several dogs on national TV.
Well, That's true.
Paul Feinbaum, weekdays at 2 on FM Talk 106.5. Welcome back to Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. Ask Bill Finch your gardening questions now at 343-0106.
It's raining out there, folks. Kind of nice to see. Hey, welcome back. It's the Gulf Coast Sunday morning with Plain Gardening. We got Chris on here. We've, you know, can you believe that Chris has got nothing better to do than to call into this show on a Sunday morning? But we've had a good time. We've actually talked about a lot of stuff. So here, we made life hard for people in several different ways, and we're going to try to rectify that now by making it easier. We're going to talk about some plants. I got some questions I need to answer real quickly. So folks sent me in some pictures to identify. I'm always happy to do that. Terry, you said, you know, you got a lot of plants that you can't identify in your yard that you inherited. We can talk about that. You feel free to send me a picture anytime. I bet I can identify it for you. On your fence, climbing on your chain link fence, that's a clematis. Looks like it's really pretty clematis. It's a nice European clematis, a Eurasian clematis. It's doing fairly well. Be happy with that. It's a nice selection. I like that selection a lot. I'm not sure what the variety is, but it's a clematis, C-L-E-M-A-T-I-S. And that red thing that's kind of a little shrubby, it looks, you know, it's a crepe myrtle. It's a crepe myrtle. Now, it may look a little different than some crepe myrtles because it may be a little shrubbier. I can't tell. And I can't tell you what species, what variety it is, but it's a crepe myrtle. Somebody else sent me a picture, and I think it's Billy. And that's a tiger lily, Billy. It's a tiger lily, an old variety that's grown here along the Gulf Coast a lot. Edward has a question. Can we go to Edward real quickly, Charlie? Edward has a question about a fruited vine. Edward, describe this thing to me.
Okay, it's a green fruit looking. It's like almost like a fig, but it's not really a fig. And it's got it's on grows on the vine. The vines are going up in the trees.
Oh, I hear Chris laughing too. We got this one. We got it nailed.
Okay.
So here it is, Chris. You want to say it?
Go for it.
All right. It's fig vine. Fig vine. And now here's the confusing thing. It is related to figs. Don't eat those fruits. They're not edible. They're not edible at all.
I didn't think so.
Yeah, so it's but it is related to figs, and so here's what happens. Fig vine, when people sell it, is this little bitty teeny leaf little thing. It's just a little bitty teeny leaf, and it's so cute and it's so precious. And people plant it in pots, and they plant it around, and they think, oh, it's such a cute little thing. Well, it has a two-stage life, and once it finds the canopy and once it gets a well-developed root system, what does it do, Chris?
Yeah, so it transforms into these very large leaves, and then it starts producing these fig-like fruits, and then they drop, and you see them, and we're seeing quite a bit of that on trees, and then trying to get rid of it is a real challenge. Mm-hmm. But it's not going to strangle the tree like a wisteria will. It's not like wrapping around it. So the biggest problem with the fig is that it's getting in and it's crowding out the canopy and it's just shading out leaves. I'm not a big fan of that climbing up trees.
Yeah. It's and getting rid of it is a problem because, as Chris points out, it sort of hides in the trunk sometimes. Cut it off at the base. Chris, all right, so Chris, you do this. You got a bunch of fig vine. Yeah. It's around the base of your live oak because, you know, I haven't successfully done it yet on my tree. So you got it's around the base of your trunk, and you got a bunch of – what do you do?
All right, so you cut it off. And you create a window, if you will. You've got some separation. You know, let's say you don't get on a ladder and cut it, you know, 12 feet high. You know, just cut it at head high, cut it at chest high, you know, somewhere you're comfortable cutting it with. And you got to be careful not to cut into the trunk behind it. But whenever you cut it off, we're applying an herbicide, a stump cut treatment, to the actual vine. And then so it pulls it down into the roots and kills. And remember, it roots, you know, not only in the ground, but it's kind of rooting onto the side of the tree too. So we're painting both sides of it, and then leave it. You wind up with a lot of, you know, dead vines in the tree, and then they'll fall out. But if you don't do that, then I've seen too many times where it just grows right back. It's got a lot of storage in its root system. Bam, it's going to make, you know, new leaves, new vines, and it's going to go right back up that tree.
Right. So that's a big problem because of the extra weight that it can put on, particularly if you've got a live oak that the limbs are way out, or if you've got a water oak, under any circumstance, putting that extra weight on the limbs is very dangerous. But and then it crowds out the foliage, but... So the stump treatment, Chris, describe that and describe how an average person could do that.
So there are several different ones, but probably the easiest, most available is going to be glyphosate, which is the active ingredient in Roundup. And so it's sold by several different brands. But ultimately, you're going to want to read the label of your product. Your product, you know, may be different than the one that I buy, and also may be different than the one that you bought last week. And so you're going to read that label, and it's going to give you a labeled rate for stump cut applications. Typically, it's 25%, 50%, or even 100%, you know, of concentrate. And so the way that application is made is not go do all your cutting, go eat a sandwich, and then find your, you know, chemicals and go to the store and come back and then put it on.
That's the way I do it. What's wrong with that?
Well, it's got to be immediate. And so the plant starts closing off. You know, it recognizes that it's been cut off, and it starts kind of, you know, closing off the system. And so in order to get it to really take up that chemical, you've got to make immediate cuts. And so where we're cutting, you know, one vine, that's pretty easy, or one, you know, popcorn tree or privet or something, right. You know, we cut it, we can make that application, walk away, we're done. But where we're cutting a lot of them, you got to be careful, because if you cut them all the way at the ground, well, then you can't find it anymore. The other thing is, if you treat it and then you step right on top of where you treated, well, now you're tracking this chemical all over the place. So you got footprints in your lawn, and you've got, you know, you're stepping on things that you're, you know, you're moving this chemical and killing it. So what I recommend for that is to whatever you're cutting down and you're poisoning, then to leave it, say, about a foot high. If you need to put some flag and tape on it or something like that to make sure you can find it, you can. But most of the time you can see it because they're sticking up a foot or so high. And then get all the heavy stuff. Do the heavy lifting. Get the brush out of there. Get the vines out of there. Take your stuff, you know, out. And then once all the heavy work is done, come back and you just make those individual cuts. You know, let's say you got 10 sticks, you know, sticking up, whether they're privet or vine or Smilax or, you know, whatever. You cut them down, make an immediate application, and then cut the next one down and make it. So it's cut, apply, cut, apply, cut, apply, not cut, 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 apply, 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 because that's not going to work. The seconds count in that stump cut treatment.
Yeah. Sometimes a brush can work for some people who have a hard time getting a really good sprayer that's really pinpoint. You can just use a little brush.
Yeah, we use a paintbrush.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah, sprayer, you know, may work, especially in a big application. You're on a right of way or, you know, something, but, you know, you can treat a large area. But, you know, for most of the time, we don't want to, especially applying at that high of a percentage, you know, we don't want to accidentally spray something. You know, we want to make sure that that's a targeted application. We want to get that right where it needs to go. And you got to be careful, because if you have fresh cuts, fresh wounds to the trunk or the roots of desirable trees, and you get this chemical in there, it's going to do the same thing to it. So you can really cause some damage.
We got to take a break.
You got to be careful where it's going.
We're taking a break. We're going to be right back. And Chris, we still have to describe. We still have to tell folks about what kind of things to plant instead of Leland Cypress.
Sure, they're sitting on the edge of their seat.
You still have to blow a little bit more of your Sunday morning.
How the weather down south, how the weather in the Delta, how the food tastes in your mouth. Butter beans and cornbread, grits and green, candy yam, and black eyed peas.
FM Talk 106.5, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority, and Dr. Bill Williams.
The Gulf Coast can expect mostly sunny skies today with isolated afternoon thunderstorms. High temperatures will be in the lower 90s. Tonight, partly cloudy, lows in the mid-70s. And for Monday, mostly sunny with a few afternoon thunderstorms and high temperatures in the mid-90s. This is meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams for FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority.
This is Chris Francis, board-certified master arborist at Chris Francis Tree Care. Trees are such a valuable part of your property. Want to know how to keep pest problems away from your trees? Start by keeping them healthy, making sure they're growing in a favorable environment, providing the proper nutrients, and maintaining the appropriate pH. Meanwhile, certain pests attack perfectly healthy plants. Timely applications of oils, soaps, insecticides, fungicides, and fertilizers will significantly improve survivability. But the key is having knowledgeable experts making regular site visits to catch or prevent problems before they occur, all while protecting the pollinators and beneficials. Does this sound overwhelming? Let our plant health care professionals do it for you. Call 4TREE, that's F-O-R-T-R-E-E. Chris Francis Tree Care. Online, chrisfrancistreecare.com, or find us on Facebook. Or call 367-8733, 251-4TREE.
Yeah, what do you want?
I'd like to get a quote on my homeowner's insurance.
I didn't hear the secret knock.
I did the secret knock.
Of course, it's pretty loud in here. Could you do the secret knock again?
I suppose, but...
On second thought, it's really late, and I don't like giving quotes after hours.
But I learned the secret knock and everything.
Oh, all right.
Okay, here we go.
That's not the secret knock.
You didn't let me finish!
Even I know it's more than two knocks. Maybe three.
Hey, could you come closer to the peephole?
Okay. Ow! What was that for?
That's for not helping me save money on my insurance. Forget it!
Where are you gonna get help with your insurance at this hour?
I'm calling Jack Green after hours.
Business, home, or auto. When you need a quote right away, you can reach Jack Green after hours.
No secret knock?
Nope.
After hours, call Jack Green, 767-6550. 767-6550.
Since the dawn of time, mankind has sought enlightenment, yearned to know if the earth was round, how fire worked, and why apples fell to the ground. The cave house and quill pen are gone, replaced by three-bedroom homes and cell phones, but we're still curious. That's why a great local newspaper is so important. Lagniappe Weekly is the Mobile Area's newspaper, with the stories nobody has the guts or knowledge to report. Lagniappe gets to the bottom of things, providing top-notch journalism every great city deserves. No simple one-inch deep stories here, plus we're locally owned too. 30,000 papers, more than 1,200 distribution locations, and an increased circulation this year to reach even more readers in Mobile and Baldwin counties. Lagniappe, the paper that breaks the big stories with tough, thorough reporting, plus the area's best commentary, cuisine, arts, sports, and business coverage. Pick up your copy at grocery stores, businesses, drugstores, in our iconic hideous pink or regal purple boxes. In the mail for just $1 a week and online at lagniappemobile.com. Lagniappe, something extra for Mobile and Baldwin counties.
Welcome back to Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. Ask Bill Finch your gardening questions now at 343-0106.
Through the window, by the window, that's where I'll be come tiptoe through the tulips with me.
But we have gotten it down to once an hour, have we not, Charlie?
Once a show.
Once a show.
Hopefully.
Once every 2 hours.
If the wind's right.
Quickly, from Grand Bay, Johnny, what you're looking at, Johnny. Johnny sent me a picture of a vine that he's seeing a lot of. And what they say? It's sumac? It's not sumac. Lousy mercy. It ain't sumac. It has blackberries later in the year. It's porcelain berry is an old name. Pepper vine. Nicotemia. Used to be ampelopsis. It is a member of the grape family. Do not eat it. You know, I don't know how toxic it is. You probably wouldn't be able to swallow much before you'd throw it up, but don't eat it. It's porcelain berry, and it's really become kind of an aggressive weed. It's one of these plants that probably wasn't all that common originally. It was mostly seed along stream sides, and now we've created perfect conditions for it to grow everywhere. Pepper vine. You know what I'm talking about, Chris? Pepper vine?
I do, and people mistake that for poison ivy occasionally because of the end of it can kind of look like it with the triple leaf there.
Yeah, yeah. And it, but in this case, it, usually it's well, it's I should say it's bipinnate, but that wouldn't mean anything.
Yeah. It, well, it's just one that gets mistaken. I think, it gets mistaken. No, look here, but yeah, but yeah, we just see that.
It's a really aggressive vine, and I was thinking the other day, you know, it really is more aggressive than I remember it being, but I think we've created the perfect habitat for this vine, and it's doing really well. And then somebody sent me a picture of Tordone. Chris, do you recommend that people use Tordone?
So Tordone was what people used to use for stump cut treatment. That was the go-to. You know, I'd say read the label. Depends on the application. I feel a lot more comfortable using glyphosate and get very good results with it on multiple species.
Right.
So I don't think you have to use Tordone. I have heard of some applications that people have made using Tordone, you know, correctly, and then plants right next door,
right,
you know, died. So that kind of makes me leery.
It's a very toxic, tough substance, and it sterilizes the ground. I mean, it just can make a real mess. People used to use it for kudzu. And it would just, I mean, the problem is that it just wipe out everything.
I'd probably avoid that, because something like glyphosate, I mean, we can argue about the, you know, long-term effects and cancer studies and things like that, but realistically, as far as poisoning plants go, once it gets onto the ground, it's not really moving into roots.
Right.
You know, that's not really the way that it works.
Right.
And so, you know, it's got to be on the leaf, you know, some green part, or it's got to be, you know, in the vascular system, you know, of the plant. And that's how it's killing plants.
Right, right.
So, and I think small applications of that can be very effective. And really, with so many invasives that we have, man, if we're not including herbicides in that program, you're never going to get rid of them.
Right.
I mean, they just come back. And I don't want to drift too far, but we had a case recently, and we've had a few others, but this one was a big one, where some herbicide was sprayed around the trees, and they were trying to take out Kogan grass. Well, the magical recipe was glyphosate, and I'm drawing a blank, but imazapyr. And so, and that works. It works great. Problem is, and you read the label and you'll find out, but the imazapyr kills hardwood.
It is.
And
it
so,
is booger on hardwood.
And we're seeing hardwoods die left and right, and we're going out and we're seeing, well, you know, kind of go through the list, what happened, you know, what's going on here. And so, you know, you don't want to be killing your trees trying to kill a grass. And so, you know, in that situation, you can't use imazapyr. You can use glyphosate by itself, and it's not as effective, but it also doesn't kill your trees. So there are some things. So, hey, look, before we drift too far, shouldn't we tell people about some of these other plants that they can plant? And
Thank you. Before we get in trouble. So we started out saying, what can you use instead of Leland cypress? And so you get to pick three plants. What would be your three choices?
All right, so I know you put me on the spot, but so there is no magic plant that replaces this plant. Okay, we're not using this plant anymore.
Right.
Everybody go to this plant.
Right.
But we don't want to do that. That's bad.
Right.
So ideally what we need to look at, and I'll pick some plants here,
right,
but we need to look at the environment. Is there sun there? Is there shade there?
Right.
Is it wet?
Right.
You know, is it windy? Is it dry? And then we want to look at maturity. You know, so at mature height, you know, this plant's going to get 60 feet tall,
right,
you know, or it's going to take this shape or something like that. So, well, we're just trying to hide a shed in our neighbor's yard and it's 10 feet tall. Okay, well, we don't need a tree that's 60 feet tall there.
Right.
You know, you want something that maxes out about 10, 11 foot tall. And so, you know, when you're doing that, there's a few that really come to mind. They work really well. One is the yew, which is really a podocarpus.
Yeah.
And those tend to work pretty well. Not seeing a lot of pest problems. They tend to stay kind of columnar, you know, a little more upright, so they're not getting as wide as they are tall. They're, you know, and they take the pruning pretty well. So those, you know, you're not really going to get any fancy blooms or anything out of them, but, you know, you can make a nice screen.
Good foliage. Good foliage.
Yeah.
Japanese yew. Nice, yeah, absolutely. Yep. Podocarpus. Great.
Yep. So yep. Another one's very similar to that is bottle brush. And the good thing about bottle brush is you do get those blooms.
Right.
And that attracts hummingbirds and, you know, a lot of positives from that. I will say the bottle brush are not as cold hardy.
That's right.
And so that's going to be, you know, around here most of the time we're good. But we get that crazy, you know, occasional winter every 5 years or so, and it can kind of freeze the foliage off. So just kind of know that. What I really like are the camellias, the sanguas and the japonicas. The sasanquas especially for a screen because they typically are a lot tighter, smaller leaves, so you're not seeing through them, smaller blooms. But what's really nice about all the camellias is they're blooming in the winter when hardly anything else is. And so, you know, it's a bonus. And so that's a plant that I really like. They typically can be a little bit more expensive, a little slower growing, but you can get a better plant, you know. And really, as far as pest problems with the camellias, when we see T-scale, you know, isn't that big of a deal. We see a few things, some oedema, but, you know, overall, they do pretty well. They really do pretty well.
Yeah, all these are so great. And I would add, you know, the camellias are easy to prune.
Yep.
Unlike some other things that people plant, they don't require a lot of pruning. And the great hedges of Baldwin County. The great hedges of Baldwin County were camellias. You remember those? And there's still some left.
Yeah.
Off of Scenic 98. You can see them. They're absolutely beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
What's really nice about the camellias is that they're typically grown in cultivars. And so if you say, I want a hedge that's going to top out at 12 feet,
right,
and bloom white, hey, there's one for you. You know, if you say, I want one that's going to be 4 foot tall at maturity and bloom pink, well, there's one for you.
That's right.
And so that's really nice. You can pick out, you know, you don't have to worry about pruning. You want something that's going to be 10 feet tall, plant this cultivar, it's going to get 10 feet tall, and that's it. And so, you know, that's really nice about that. So you know exactly what you're getting. And so I do like that.
So you stole some of mine, but I'm gonna jump in and say that. So here's what I would say. I would say bamboo. People forget bamboo, and people are afraid that you're going to use a running bamboo. But tropical bamboos make incredible hedges, and you can choose any size you want. You can choose them 6 feet. You can choose them 12 feet. Well, 6 feet's a little small. 8 feet, 15 feet, 25 feet, 40 feet. Whatever size you want, if you choose the right cultivar, bamboos are beautiful. And if you get a tropical bamboo, it does not spread. It spreads very slowly, but it makes a screen incredibly fast. It's an incredible thing. Azaleas, the old Southern Indian azaleas, the best hedge I have, just the best hedges ever. Incredible. They'll be 8-9 feet tall. Nothing's coming over it. Nothing's coming under it. And you get all those great blooms. What a really great thing. The other one is, it takes a little harder to find, but I would say either the white cedars or the red cedars, which are great trees. If you can find the native Gulf Coast white cedars, they're great. The Mobile Botanical Garden sells them. They're really great. They have a similar texture to Leland cypress and are a great, reliable tree, as are red cedars, particularly the selected cultivars, and really beautiful trees. Let's we do have some questions and we should get to them. Chris, we did our job. We did it.
We did it. I was afraid we just run completely out of time.
Yeah. So Kitty,
I'm glad we got that out of there.
Kitty got a question about parsley.
Don't let him go before I ask my question.
All right. So you got it, Chris. You got to hang on.
Okay. Right, please. I have a spot. I took down a big sycamore. And I'm going to de-root it, and I want to know if it would be appropriate to plant a hawthorn, parsley leaf hawthorn in this area.
Chris said he was going to punt on that one, so I'm going to have to take it over. The parsley hawthorn actually does really well. It does get cedar apple rust, so if you've got a lot of cedars around, a lot of red cedars, Some of the leaves will get kind of funky looking. They'll get the little bit of cedar apple rust. It doesn't actually hurt the tree that badly. It comes through it. It's a nice tree. I like the flowers. I actually like the fruits. It can be very nice. The trunk is absolutely beautiful. It can be a little bit thorny.
I was going to ask about that.
It's a hawthorn. It's a hawthorn, and it will be a little bit thorny. You know, it's a neat tree. My bet is that there are some others that you might like better.
Well, it's on the east side of my house, and I really like a deciduous tree because I like to see the tree and the naked sun.
We've got so many good possibilities. If you like to eat the way I do, I would think, is that a good place for a fruiting tree? So we could say, we could do a persimmon there. We could do a Japanese persimmon there. If you just wanted something pretty,
you don't want
something pretty.
Do want something pretty, but I think not necessarily. I do have blueberries and citrus in my yard. I want to add some fig trees, but this is looking right outside my window.
So you want it pretty.
I want to look at it naked and it be pretty, and blooming would be a bonus.
All right.
If the thorny is not too bad.
Here's what I would recommend. What I would recommend. It'll be the perfect size. You will love it. It's a fringe tree. You know, I could get a lot more. There's a lot of other things, but a fringe tree is one of the most beautiful small trees you could grow. I prefer the native fringe tree, but if you wanted to grow the Chinese fringe tree, you would like it.
How tall is native?
They're going to be about 15 to 20 feet tall.
Well, I have an old two-story house with dormers and a not a gable roof. What's that other one?
Well, if you left the native long enough, I have heard tales of natives that are as much as 40 feet tall.
That would be nice.
Yeah, but so if you want a bigger tree, here's another big tree that would be really good. That would be a good flowering tree is a silver bell. Silver bell will reach that size much more quickly. Chris, have you had much experience with silver bells?
Not a lot, and we just don't really see a lot commercially grown. I got one at Arbor Day a few years ago and planted in my yard, but just don't really see a lot of them.
Yeah, we've planted them in multiple places in downtown and in West
Mobile. Tell me one.
And one of the places that there were a lot of them growing was in front of the Chamber of Commerce building. And I think they're still there on Government Street. They were really beautiful. There's a bunch of them out at Mobile Botanical Gardens in the Azalea Collection. We have a lot of silver bells there, both the Chinese and the natives. They're really beautiful.
Oh, okay.
And they have beautiful white bells, just covered in beautiful white bells.
I think of that as a small flower. One inch.
Oh, the flowers, if you get Magnaflora, the silver bell called Magnaflora, the flowers will be actually quite large. They'll be almost as long as your thumb.
Oh, okay.
And they're really quite beautiful.
Then they probably have a scent?
They don't have a scent.
Oh, that would have been too much.
That would have been too much. I'm trying, but I can't make it scented for you. But silver bell be good. Charlie's going to make me take a break.
Okay.
Kitty,
thank you very much.
Yeah,
I do
right.
have a potato vine question, but I can't seem to have time for it ever. So,
all right, I'll talk about potato vine when we get back, okay?
Bye.
Bye. Hey, we're going to take a break.
All right.
Good music.
Everything get down. On your bending knees, I ain't going to dig no more potatoes. I decline, I ain't gonna pick no peas. Because everything is on the phone, you know you got to go. I'll get down on your bending knee.
Attention gardeners, A Bloom Garden Center's huge annual July sale is coming up. Mark your calendar. Starting June 30th, mention you heard it here for additional savings. This is A Bloom's largest sale every year, so you don't want to miss it. For this week's specials, visit A Bloom Garden Center's page on Facebook or go to abloomgardencenter.com for details. A Bloom Garden Center, 116 Alverson Road in West Mobile near Schillinger and Old Shell. Open Monday through Saturday, 8 to 5, Sunday, 11 to 4. A Bloom, improving your outdoor living.
The right hire can have such an impact on your business, so it's crucial to make sure that your job post reaches the most qualified candidates, and you could try posting on job boards, but if you do that, do you really know who's going to see the posting? When you post your job on LinkedIn, it reaches 70% of the U.S. workforce, and unlike job boards, LinkedIn is a community that career-focused people visit every single day to grow professionally and explore job opportunities. LinkedIn Jobs intelligently targets candidates based on their skills, recommendations, even how open they are to new opportunities like yours. And those insights are only available on the LinkedIn network. The result is that your post is matched to the best people for the job. That's probably why a new hire is made every 10 seconds on LinkedIn. And right now, you can go to linkedin.com/WAVH to get a $50 credit towards your first job post. That's linkedin.com/WAVH for your $50 credit. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, you're closer than you think.
The Husqvarna Fleet Program is back at Robert Stowe Power Equipment. Husqvarna and Robert Stowe Power Equipment have teamed up to bring you the best deals on commercial zero turns of the season. Listen up, landscapers. Right now, get a Husqvarna commercial zero turn starting at $136 a month for qualified buyers and receive a blower and string trimmer for free. Do you feel like the yard work never ends? Husqvarna's robotic 450X auto mower gives you a better looking lawn with less effort. The auto mower maneuvers around your lawn without supervision, even over tricky terrain and obstacles. It knows when it needs power and directs itself back to the charging station. With convenient control options, the auto mower allows you to set it and forget it, even from your smartphone. Thanks to Husqvarna, you can have a great looking lawn and more time to enjoy it this summer. Visit Robert Stowe Power Equipment today to see how they can help with all your lawn and garden needs. Highway 59 South in Robertsdale, right at the split by the Catholic Church. Or visit them online at robertstowepower.com. Husqvarna, ready when you are.
My buddy Austin Key from Arrow Exterminators back in studio. Summertime's here and the living's stingy and bitey. I think about my backyard. You got fire ants on the ground, you got mosquitoes in the air, and I need Arrow.
Yeah, you know, I mean, Mobile is the area for definitely for fire ants, and mosquitoes is almost a year-round problem for us.
Oh, you got to tackle something that's, two different critters out there that are kind of ruining our backyards for us. How do you do that?
Well, we'll create a customized plan specifically for your needs, whether it be our fire ant program or a mosquito program that we can put in place for you.
Okay, so the fire ants take over somebody's backyard. Does Arrow have a way to keep them at bay so I can get back out barefooted? Can you get rid of fire ants?
Yes, we can come out and we'll send an evaluator out to take a look at that property and figure out specific areas that we need to treat, and we can take care of the fire ants for you.
All right, so we're going after mosquitoes. We're going after fire ants. How do we get in touch with you?
You can reach us at 888-GO-ARROW or arrowexterminators.com.
All right, Austin, so I am planning a family party around that information. Get rid of those fire ants. Get rid of those mosquitoes.
Absolutely. We've got 100% satisfaction guarantee.
Welcome back to Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. Ask Bill Finch your gardening questions now at 343-0106.
Hey, welcome back. It's a Gulf Coast Sunday morning with Plain Gardening. Boy, it's turned out to be a busy and productive morning. Chris Francis jumped in, and was fortunate he did, helping us out this morning, answering some good questions about trees and some of the issues. We went around the world talking about a lot of things. One of the things I mentioned was bamboo. Somebody asked me to talk about cultivars of bamboo. Listen, let me give you, get a pencil. If you're talking about bamboo, be careful, but be bold. There's some varieties. If you pick the right variety, you're good. So let me write this name down for you. Bambusa, B-A-M-B-U-S-A. Sounds right, doesn't it? Sounds kind of like bamboo. Bambusa is the genus of bamboos that grow well here that are tropical. And there are a number of them that do well for us. Anything that is a Bambusa multiplex, and there are a bunch of different varieties, but Bambusa multiplex, you know, kind of like you go to the cinema and it's a multiplex cinema. Well, multiplex, M-U-L-T-I-P-L-E-X. Bambusa multiplex, anything in that genus is going to be great for us. It's going to do very well. There's some others, but I'll get you started with Bambusa multiplex. That's a good one. Potato vine. Kitty, one of the interesting things is we're actually introducing a pest that will get rid of potato vine. We're introducing an insect that will get rid of the potato vine that is very exclusive, apparently, to potato vine. It doesn't affect anything else in Dioscorea or any of the related genuses, which is good. But that has been introduced in Florida. It's been very successful there. There's some experimenting going on right now, releasing it in Mobile and Baldwin counties. We're good. George has a question about crepe myrtle moss. I'm listening, George.
Well, good morning, Bill Finch. I tell you, I really get tickled listening to the new vocabulary that's coming out now that I'm 78 years old. Yeah, such as the naked sun and naked crepe myrtles. You know, Adam and Eve were naked also.
That's
right. I think
right.
It was only after they ate the forbidden fruit, the apple, I think they wanted to start covering themselves at that time. But was my understanding they were naked prior to that. But don't ever try to put clothes on the sun or the crepe myrtles. Now, my question is, I live on McGregor Avenue, and I got a yard full of crepe myrtles, and I got a big yard. I'm on the right-hand side heading towards the airport. But I got one crepe myrtle that's got the mildew. And I've had to cut limbs off of it. And the mildew looks like it sticks to the trunk, and it's about a nickel in diameter size, and it's kind of grayish-whitish. But I've had to cut limbs off. I think it's one of the... I got an Auburn Extension book here I've had for years.
George, we're going to run out of time, but let me tell you, I don't think you have the mildew that's on your leaves is not on your trunk. Chris, do we think that?
I think that's lichen, L-I-C-H-E-N, and that's a symbiotic relationship between blue-green algae and various fungi. So it could be hairy, scaly, smooth. It's not a pest at all. There are no pesticides labeled to treat it because it's not a problem. I get a lot of questions on that, but some of the newer research has actually shown that it's beneficial as it fixes nitrogen. Rainwater runs down the plant and goes down and kind of adds nutrients in the soil. So not a problem.
George, I wish we could talk about this a little more. We're coming up right against the fact that people don't let us talk forever on this show. They want to talk about golf.
What a shame.
Yeah. So we won't tell that to the golf folks. But yes, so we got the other show coming up. Hey George, if you want to talk more about this crepe myrtle moss, call us back next week and we'll talk about it a little more in a little more detail. We just got to take a break now. Chris, it's been great to have you on the show today. We'll have to do this again sometime. All right. We'll be back next week.
My girl, my girl.